Imagine this. It's a crisp Saturday night, and you and your friends decide to test your courage with a seance, deep in the mountains. The road winds sharply through the dark woods, your headlights barely cutting through the thick fog. Suddenly, you spot it. A rotting, weathered, horse-drawn carriage bridge looming above the road like a dark centennial. Against your better judgment, you pull over. You step beneath the bridge, the cold stone pressing down on you like a weight. Hand in hand, you form a circle with your friends. Your breath hangs in the air like smoke as you begin to chant. Helen.
Helen. Helen.
Silence. A brutal gust of wind tears past you, but the air itself remains unnervingly still. Then, from the woods, the sharp snap of branches. Something or someone is moving. "Did you see that?" your friend gasps.
"See what?"
another whispers, the tension in their voice palpable. "The woman in white, on the bridge." Your friend's eyes are wide with terror as they describe her. Pale as death, long hair hanging in a wet tangle, empty eyes locked on you from above. A cold chill creeps up your spine. You decide to leave, and now. But as you reach the car, a sudden heat burns into your back. You lift your shirt, and your heart stops. Three deep, angry gashes streak down your skin, fresh and bleeding. Panic surges as you scramble into the car. The engine coughs. It refuses to turn over. Once, twice, your pulse pounding in your ears. Finally, mercifully, it roars to life. Tires screech against the gravel as you speed down the mountain. Your friends' shaky breath fill the car. No one speaks. No one looks back. But you know, she's still there, watching and waiting. You are listening to episode Helen's Bridge, The Bridge to the Other Side. I am your host, Carrie, and this is Unlocking the Paranormal. If this is your first time here, I appreciate you taking the time to check out the show. And if you are a returning listener, I appreciate your loyalty. Before getting into today's episode, I do want to provide a quick reminder that there is a contest going on right now for each of the research episodes. If you head over to Instagram, I will be posting clues and riddles for you to guess. And if you guess correctly in the comments, you will be entered in a drawing to win a sticker pack prize. There will be one winner for each of the researched episodes for season 2. And also a reminder that season 1 merch, limited merch, will be out only for a short while before the merch store goes to even more limited designs and possibly no designs before new designs are put out by the end of the year. So if you want to get the designs that are out there now is your chance to get those before they are gone. All right. Let's get into today's episode because I honestly can't wait for this one. I kind of reread it. I wrote this one a while ago and I reread it here before diving into recording. And honestly, I'm just kind of looking around my dark studio and I am kind of freaked out right now. So this is going to be a good one. Now, obviously, with the title of the episode, you already are aware that the episode is called, or the bridge is called, Helen's Bridge. But the bridge itself wasn't always named Helen's Bridge. It's also called Zealandia Bridge, after being built to provide passage to Zealandia Mansion that sits on top of Beaumont Mountain in North Carolina. Zealandia Mansion was built by a wealthy man named John Brown. He has ties around the world and was a miner, among other things. He passed in 1895, but the bridge was not built until 1909. This rustic arch bridge sits high above a winding highway covered in vines and ivy. It is surrounded by dense woods and thick brush. It was constructed of quarried stone and only wide enough for a horse-drawn carriage. While the bridge is no longer functional and is covered in overgrowth, its presence wasn't always as eerie as it is today. As a matter of fact, the bridge was once so enchanting, author Thomas Wolfe was inspired by the bridge and wrote of it in his novel, Look Homeward, Angel. In his novel, he described his character walking with his girlfriend up the crest of Bucatcher Mountain. In his novel, he writes, "As they went under the shadow of the bridge, Eugene lifted his head and shouted. His voice bounded against the arch like a stone. From this began the romantic tradition of walking with your lover under the great arched bridge and shouting up to listen to the lover's echo. But today, it is not the echo of one's lover you may hear. Rather, the agonizing screams of a mother in mourning." Depending on where you read the tale or who you ask, the details around the story of Helen vary. I will now share various versions of Helen's story. According to the urban legend, Helen was a young woman who worked at Zealandia Mansion, an imposing stone castle perched high in the mountains, surrounded by dense ancient forest. The mansion was a place of quiet opulence, its grand halls filled with flickering candlelight and the soft murmur of servants gliding through the corridors. Helen was one of them, known for her gentle demeanor and quiet devotion to her young child, who lived with her in the servants' quarters. One bitter autumn night, tragedy struck. Helen was working late in the cavernous kitchen, the scent of fresh bread and simmering stew hanging in the air. The crackling of the hearth was a familiar comfort, until it wasn't. A sudden roar erupted as flames shot up from the fireplace, licking hungrily at the wooden beams above. Sparks rained down, and within moments, the fire was alive, an unstoppable force tearing through the castle. Helen's screams echoed through the stone halls as she fled the kitchen, choking on thick black smoke. Her only thought was of her child. She stumbled through the twisted corridors, flames clawing at the tapestries and beams as the walls themselves seemed to close in. She reached the room, but it was too late. The fire had already consumed it. Through the smoke and searing heat, she saw the small bed engulfed in flames. Her child's cries were swallowed by the deafening crackle of the burning wood. Helen collapsed to her knees, her screams lost in the inferno. Overcome with grief and horror, she stumbled out of the mansion. Her soot streaked face, streaked with tears. She ran through the night, the cold cutting through her scorched skin, until she reached the tall stagecoach bridge that arched over the ravine below. Her breath came in ragged gasps as she gripped the stone railing. The icy wind whipped her hair across her face. The echoes of her child's screams still filled her ears. With a final, shuddering breath, she stepped onto the edge and leapt. Her broken body was found at the base of the ravine the next morning, but they say her spirit never left. Now, an entirely different version of Helen's death has also been whispered throughout the halls of time. A story darker and more tragic in its own right. This version suggests that Helen's suicide was not connected to the loss of a child in a fire, but to a forbidden love and a heart-wrenching betrayal. Helen had been living at Zealandia Mansion for some time, working as a servant beneath the shadow of its cold stone walls. Despite the harsh demands of the house, whispers circulated that Helen had found herself entwined in a secret affair with a man of high standing, possibly even someone tied to the powerful family that owned the mansion. Their meetings were stolen moments beneath moonlit windows and dark corridors, where candlelight flickered against the ancient stone and the echo of footsteps always seemed too close. But everything changed when Helen discovered she was pregnant. She approached the man, trembling with both fear and hope, believing that he would stand by her. Instead, she was met with cold rejection. Whether out of fear of scandal or the weight of his position, he denied her his love, his loyalty, and his child. Helen was left shattered. Rumors spread among the staff, her haunted expression, and the way she would wander the dark halls alone, clutching her belly as if shielding herself from the truth. Whether Helen was married at the time or simply could not bear the shame of being cast aside, no one knows for certain. What is known is how it ended. One stormy night, Helen was seen walking towards the tall stone coach bridge that spanned the ravine near the mansion. Her white nightgown fluttered in the cold wind as she stepped onto the edge. Some say she stood there for what felt like an eternity, staring down into the dark abyss below. Others say a single, desperate sob escaped her lips before she plunged into the depths. Her body was found at the base of the ravine the next morning, broken and lifeless, but the tragedy did not end with her death. The third story is similar to the first, but includes one major difference. Helen did not live or work at Zealandia Mansion. According to AppleWoodManor.com, Helen was known as a devoted mother, living just across from Zealandia on the far side of the bridge. Her daughter would often spend her days playing with the other children at Zealandia, making it common for her to be away for long stretches of time. One tragic day, while her daughter was at Zealandia, a fire broke out in the mansion. Despite the building's nearly fireproof construction, the flames consumed a single room, the very room where Helen's daughter had been playing. When Helen arrived in a panic to retrieve her child, she was met with the devastating news. Her daughter had been trapped and lost to the fire. Overcome with grief, Helen stumbled back across the bridge. At some point, she noticed a rope tied to the stone railing. In her misery and despair, Helen made a heartbreaking decision. That night, she took her own life, hanging herself from the bridge. The next morning, a construction crew working nearby discovered Helen's lifeless body swinging from the cold stone arch of the bridge. A tragic and haunting end to a story steeped in sorrow. Something to add about these stories is that Helen's last name nor the name of her child have ever been revealed. Additional details about the date this occurred have never been confirmed. I was also unable to locate any news articles about a Helen, a fire, and a loss of a child. But despite all of that, the story of Helen's Bridge has drawn investigators, journalists, authors, and paranormal crews for decades, each one seeking to uncover the truth behind the chilling legends. They come around with cameras, recording devices, and fragile courage, hoping to capture evidence of Helen's tormented spirit. Many leave with more than what they bargained for. If you dare to summon Helen, be warned. What follows may leave you marked forever. To reach out to her spirit, you must go to the bridge beneath the shadow of night. Stand beneath the cold, mossy arch, or perhaps on top of it. The legends aren't clear, but maybe that's part of the test. Then, in a steady voice, no matter how much your hands tremble, recite her name. Helen. 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 The silence that follows will be deafening. At first, you may hear nothing but the sound of your own heartbeat pounding in your ears. But then, you will know when she's present. Countless visitors had reported sightings of dark, twisted apparitions lurking just beyond the tree line. Faint shapes with distorted limbs and hollow eyes peer out from dense underbrush, vanishing when approached. Some have claimed to see a pale woman in a white gown standing on the bridge, her dark hair hanging limp around her face. Others have been approached by her directly, a fragile figure emerging from the mist to softly ask, "Have you seen my child?" But it doesn't stop with sightings. The forest itself seems to reach her presence. Sharp cracks and snaps of breaking branches echo from the woods, even when no one is there. On calm, windless days, a sudden and violent gust will tear through the trees, chilling you to the bone. And then, there's the sound. The unmistakable sound of a woman crying in the distance. A soft and broken wail that seems to come from everywhere at once. If you arrive in a perfectly functional car, don't expect it to stay that way. Engines stall without warning, batteries die as you pass under the bridge, leaving you stranded beneath the cold, looming arch. Some visitors have reported car troubles for days afterwards. Dead batteries, flickering lights, and sudden mechanical failures with no explanation. And then there are the reports that cross the line from eerie to violent. Some visitors have felt an icy touch on their shoulders, only to find deep, burning scratches when they check their skin. Others have been shoved hard enough to stumble, slapped across the face by an unseen hand, or even punched hard enough to leave bruises. Helen's Bridge isn't just haunted. It's dangerous. If you do decide to seek her out, be prepared for more than just whispers and shadows. You may leave with marks, both seen and unseen. Ones that stay with you long after you left the bridge. Now, if you are a fan of hearing personal paranormal encounters, you are in luck. I have obtained several stories to share with you all right now. A person named Nick writes that he went to college at Western Carolina in the late 90s. This is where I learned about Helen's Bridge. I didn't believe it until I went there. The first time I went, the driver cut the car off while under the bridge. He waited for about 15 to 20 seconds and tried to crank it back, but with no luck. I was in the back seat and turned around, only to see a figure with long hair walking towards us. We got the car to crank and sped off. I went back a week later. My friend called out her name. There was no wind, no noise, and after he called her name, the wind picked up. Sticks began to break, and that is when a woman walked out of the woods in all white. She just looked at us, didn't say a word. She wasn't scary looking. She just looked at us. I froze solid. I go back to Helen's Bridge all the time, chasing that experience. This next story is shared from Barbara. She writes, "My husband and I visited this location in August 2011 on a Sunday, about noon after a ghost tour the night before. We parked at the top of the hill parallel to the bridge. We shut off the car, put the keys in the dashboard, and put the windows down. I called out Helen's name 3 times, as we were told to do. We did not hear or sense anything, but I got out of the car on the right front passenger side. Clear as day, on the roof of my dark gray car was a skeletal handprint. My husband saw the print also, but I washed it off and we left quickly but unnerved. We do want to visit again though and take photos." And I agree. Getting a photo of that handprint before you wash it off would have been the first thing to do. Britt shares this next story. She writes, "Yeah, quite scary. I'm new to the Asheville area and I had to go up there. My fiance asked me to go park somewhere, so I did. We began recording on our phones. Well, we wasn't up there too long until this car comes by. As I look at the people in the car, I see what I thought were glowing red eyes. The car leaves. As we were still recording, we both hear a scream. Now, whether or not it was Helen, I don't know. Could easily have been a kid up at the mansion. As soon as we heard the scream, him and I see another pair of glowing eyes in front of us." Okay, so Izzy shares the story about Helen's Bridge. She writes, "My boyfriend and his friend went up to the bridge one night and they were in the car on their phones. They both got a notification at the same time saying they had a missed call from an unknown number. One of his friends had a voicemail from the unknown number, but they couldn't make out anything that was said other than, 'I'm sorry.' Later they went home and my boyfriend was woken up in the middle of the night and for some reason was compelled to go outside in the pitch black dark and sit on the front porch. He heard something making noise, but it didn't sound like an animal. Again, he was compelled to go towards the sound, which led him to the back of the house, where he said a black figure was standing by a bush. It wasn't an animal, but also didn't look human. After a couple of seconds, the thing walked off, and then my boyfriend ran inside the house and locked the door. He got back to his room and said the window was open. It wasn't when he woke up and left. That puts you in such a vulnerable position, knowing that you can't run from it because it's going to find you wherever you go." Okay, Jen writes, "Went once, will never go back. I went with a group of friends in high school one night to just goof around. We were told to turn the car off under the bridge and say her name 3 times. Well, we didn't turn the car off, and my buddy in the front seat starts yelling, "Hey, Helen," over and over, "Come out wherever you are." I shit you not, the car just turns itself off and we start rolling down the hill. My friend managed to get the car back on after multiple failed attempts and finally got it switched back on before reaching the bottom of that hill. We bolted out of there. That was my first and last time there. I do not recommend it to anyone. Okay, perhaps maybe what you shouldn't recommend is going and taunting a spirit, because you're gonna get what you asked for. If you're gonna be antagonistic, the spirit's gonna antagonize you right back. Is that not what you went there for? I don't know. This next story is from a Kristen. She writes, "I grew up on the East Side, and to us, this was a place we often went after a football game in the dark." God, I kind of love that. Now I'm like flashing back to high school, and was there any creepy places that we would go to? And there's one I can think of, but that's a story for another time. Anyways, we always followed the winding road that went up behind the bus station and parked under the bridge. Back then, we would gather at the old pizza place, Godfather's Pizza, and pile in cars for the ghostly experience. We were told to watch out for the old man that dwelt nearby and the stone rubble. Some said he was part wolf. We always would turn off the car and sit saying Helen 3 times. You cannot turn on a flashlight nor leave your headlights on nor talk to each other after saying her name. It always had to be in the darkness. The cars parked under the bridge always died. The wind always picks up, and crazy sounds whip all around the car, like scratches or branches of trees scraping, only there were no branches around. Shadows will appear, shifting in and out of the darkness. To sit under that bridge is something you will never forget. As always, once the car starts up, you are safe down the mountain. You can see her handprint or prints appear in the window of the car. I know every time her handprint remained as if she landed on the car, palms outstretched over the window. I once tried to walk the bridge and almost fell, so I do not recommend attempting that. I so far have never met anyone who dared to sit under Helen's Bridge alone in the dark. The legends we were told was that she lost her baby and hung herself on that bridge with grief, and is often spotted on that winding road in a long white gown asking if anyone has seen her child. The interesting part about this story is that she does reference the legend of Helen in Helen's Bridge, but she also mentions something about an old man who is possibly part wolf. That is an interesting piece of the legend. I'm assuming it's a whole entirely different legend altogether, but quite interesting that it happens to be there at Helen's Bridge. This next story is shared by a person named Charlie. She wrote back in 2022, "Just last night came back from Asheville, there on a weekend getaway with my SO, significant other. He does not believe in the paranormal and feels there is always a rational explanation. I have had 2 experiences with the paranormal in my life, unprovoked, but never anything like this. We went to the bridge last night after I saw various stories about it. With any lore, of course, once it has been passed down so many generations, it can get cloudy. So I wasn't there with the idea that just Helen would be present. We took some pictures and joked around, then went to the orange peel and walked around downtown for about 2 hours. On the way back to our Airbnb in Lake Lure, I said, let's go back and try to get some activity. He said, OK, okay, but that he would stay in the car. He messed around with the lights on the car to tease me, and I just started filming and calling out to Helen and any other potential beings. Rationalized every sound I heard, like leaves rustling, a long tree branch swaying, shown in one of the photos, and I turned to leave and felt three scratches on my lower back. I took off running to the car, shaking and nearly in tears. She writes, I was standing in the middle of the road, nowhere near any branches. I did not know there was any visible evidence until this morning when my significant other saw my back and said he now believes me, but still thinks it maybe can be explained. No one has ever taken me seriously, and now I have physical proof. A part of me wants to go back, but the other part is a bit too shook. She attached a photo of her lower back, and you could see where she was scratched. I see at least 2 to 3 scratches, and it looks like they were bleeding at one point in time. That had to have been so painful. She also has a picture of herself standing in the middle of the road, and you can't really see any branches that would have scratched her with where she's standing, because she's in the middle of the road. If any cars were driving through there, the branches would have been knocked out of the way. Wow. Now, what she's smart is to assume that if she's there calling on Helen, that she might be getting responses from other spirits. And maybe that's just it. Maybe this evil spirit that's coming through, or the spirit that is attacking people, isn't Helen. Maybe it's someone else that's kind of like, well, Helen's not going to show up. I am. For those of you who want to visit Helen's Bridge, according to TripAdvisor, the bridge itself is hard to find but worth the search. Don't bother trying to use Google Maps because it may get you lost. If coordinates will help, I will post them on social media. And actually, thinking about it, this might be one of the clues or riddles that I put out. So if it is, it'll already be out there. If not, I will put it out there. Now, if you can find the intersection of College Street and Windsweep Drive, you will see the bridge. There was a small pull-off on the road where many people park. So, I mean, if you plan to visit the bridge and attempt to summon Helen, just tread carefully. Helen was a mother whose heart was shattered beyond repair. The love a mother holds for her child is the most powerful bond that exists. And when that bond is violently severed, it sent Helen into a darkness from which she never escaped. Her pain is what drew her to the bridge that night, and why her spirit may still linger there. To me, Helen's spirit is not malicious, but fractured, haunted by the unbearable loss she endured. If you encounter her, approach with respect and understanding. Do not mock her grief or treat her pain as a spectacle. Show kindness, and perhaps you will find that she's not seeking to harm, but to be heard. And if you are brave enough to face the darkness and have an encounter of your own at Helen's Bridge, I absolutely want to hear all about it. Share your experience with me at Unlocking the Paranormal if you make it back. I do thank you for embarking on this chilling journey to unlocking the paranormal mysteries of the world. Beyond this episode lies a realm of enigmas waiting to be unveiled. For a full list of the episode's source material, head over to the Unlocking the Paranormal podcast Facebook page. And for additional creepy content, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Unlocking the Paranormal and TikTok. I will be posting some pictures on Instagram and Facebook that the person shared in the stories, so go check those out. And be sure you never miss a moment of the unearthly tales that await by following our show wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is independently produced, and sharing it with friends, family, and your favorite coworkers helps me immensely. Don't forget to leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to join in and become a paranormal pen pal to have your story shared on a Parapals episode, email your story to unlockingtheparanormalpod@gmail.com. Stay tuned for the next episode where we will venture further into the labyrinth of the supernatural. Until next time, stay curious, embark on the journey, and may you find the key to unlocking the paranormal.